If you will all take your seats, we'll get started, please. We enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. If you're here with a heart full of joy, welcome. If you're here with a heart that may be filled with trouble and despair, welcome, because you are in the right place. The great physician and the healer can take care of all your problems, and He can hear all of your joys. It is our expressed desire that we would say something, that we would pray something, that we would sing something, that we would read from God's Word that might say something to your heart. And I believe that it will, if you will listen with an open mind and with a thankful heart. Again, I say welcome, and we say welcome to all of you this morning. It's a great season of the year in America. The season of Advent and the anticipation of the birth of Christ. Even though it happened all those years ago, it's all fresh and it's all new and it's all warm, and it gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling. Or at least I hope it does. It does me. I have not read the bulletin, but it's there for you to read. If you will read through it, there are certainly many announcements in there and things that will be going on, various activities in the church that you probably need to know about and maybe you would like to participate in. Are there any special announcements this morning? Melanie? And again, what day is it?
December 18th.
December 18th at the Methodist Church.
At the Methodist Church.
Okay.
This is
Thank you. Thank you, Melanie. Are there any other announcements? Yes. Go for it.
Ha ha ha.
A good way to pass on tradition down to another generation. Thank you, Deborah. Good idea. Yes, Susan.
Especially the youth, because we play practice at 4 o'clock, Daddy, and the youth play practice at 4, be here at 4 with your boss. Also, this Wednesday night will be the last Wednesday night dinner until the first of the year. So please send that on the schedule and other things to check out.
Okay, you've heard that. Okay, Mary Beth. Thank you. Anyone else? Any other announcements?
We have some people that think they spell gas, and we don't say that they don't. We just don't know what it is.
Okay.
But we have turned off at least 2 units, and somebody has looked to see if there might be a gas leak. We have automatic lighters and everything. We don't know what it could be, but we hope that we don't get
blown up. So we're going to call the gas company and let them come and inspect that for us?
Well, we're going to inspect it ourselves.
Yeah, but we don't always need to trust ourselves.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
If you smell gas, we don't know what to do. We hope it's construction.
Any other announcements? I would just like, okay.
I knew you'd have to have another. We have a congregational meeting as soon as we get through with your announcements and prayer concerns.
Thank you. I would like to issue a challenge to all of you. This is such a wonderful time of the year. And I would issue you the challenge of everything that you do, whether it's decorating the Christmas tree, your home, wrapping presents, shopping, and particularly doing something for someone else at this time of the year, let it be a joy. Let it be a gift. Let yourself be a blessing to whomever you're doing that for. And I speak to myself and issue that challenge to myself as well. Thank you for listening to me. And now I'd like to ask you to register your attendance in the attendance books there in the pews. If you're the first to register your attendance in that pew, please write 1015 out by there so we'll know which service and we'll know how many was at which service for our own little benefits. Now, first-time visitors. Do we have any first-time visitors to my left? Anyone over here? Any first-time visitors in the middle section? Any first-time visitors to my right? Don't let me go too fast. Stop me. So we all know each other. Okay. Excuse me? Hi, Skyler. Welcome. Good. I'm glad you're here. Good. Welcome. Welcome. Glad to have you. Now, prayer request. Do we have anyone that we need to add to the prayer request, to the prayer list, or someone we need to delete, or some addition? Yes.
I Jane is at Farmhouse Gym in the Mid-City. She is, I've just worked with her real closely the last 2 months, and I'm just really praying that this will be successful for her. And she's a wonderful, wonderful person. It's just been a blessing to work with her and spend time with her and get to know her. And y'all just keep her in your prayers that this will just be successful for her. She totally does deserve it, and she just her heart into it. And she's an awesome person. Okay. We were at Target one day, and they undercharged her like $300 for tables. And she said, I thought I was going to go. She said, you know, I mean, Wendy, she didn't have to. And she did. And she said, you know, it's the right thing to do. It was a good woman. Because put in that situation, it was $350. And that's probably a real table. And she's like, you know. I was very proud of her. And I called her. I mean, that's just little things. A lot of people wouldn't. A lot of people would have walked with that opportunity.
Probably so. Please pray for Kim Glasgow. Amy. Yeah, your mom told me, Amy, and I went to school with his uncle. His uncle and I were good friends in school. His uncle nicknamed me Mikey. And what's his name? Tell me again. Falk, Trent Falk. Please remember Trent Falk. Yes, ma'am.
My mother lost another brother yesterday. She has 5 younger brothers, and only 2 are now left. But a family of David Nash. He was a resident of Florida. He passed away.
Yes. Please remember those folks in prayer.
Wade has a cousin, David Peters, that has been diagnosed with brain cancer also.
David Peters?
Peters.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I should never apologize for being emotional, and I'm so thankful that my children have a little of that too. Yes? Yes, I'm sorry. Holly. God bless you, and we're sorry for your loss. But God will give you even better things. I promise He will. It's in His promise. It's there. This is my first time to be worship leader since we've made the addition to the church, and even though it's not finished, it's kind of awesome to be up here, and it's bigger. It's more cathedral-like, if I can use that word. And I also noticed today that I thank God for our stained glass windows. It's kind of ugly out today. It's cold, it's drabby and dreary. And it's just good to see God's work through someone else's hands. And I praise God for that gentleman that did those for us. And I praise God for seeing the message of God through each of those windows. And right now, I would ask you to please bow your heads and prepare yourself for the worship service that is to come. Amen.
We have the congregational meeting today, and we'll have another one next week. Having 2 services, we have to have, for election of elders, we have to have nominations, and we do it in both of the services rather than calling a special meeting.
the congregational meeting is outlined on page 31 of your confession of faith, tells you why you have a congregational meeting. I will not take the time to read all of that today or to inform you of that, but one of the reasons to have a congregational meeting is to elect elders. Today we will nominate the elders. Next Sunday we will elect the elders. We have another personal matter, the elder situation that we need to deal with next week. And also we need a meeting because of the state of Tennessee of the corporation. About 2 or 3 years ago we incorporated, and we need to meet and elect officers for the coming year. And we do that once a year, and that will be next Sunday also. Let us open our congregational meeting with prayer. Lord God, as we look to the business of the church, we pray for your leadership there as much as we do for the leadership in the worship experience or the service experience. Lord, give us the leaders that we need. In the name of Jesus, amen. Steve, will you state the reason for the congregational meeting? Floor is open for nominations from the floor. If you have additional nominations, we need to elect three elders. If you have additional nominations to make, to add to this list, speak now. Make your nomination now.
I make a motion that the nomination cease.
Is there a discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion is made and passed that the nomination cease, and we know that we will elect next Sunday. We will vote at both services. You may be seated. Thank you. What else, Steve?
The
motion is made that the meeting adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Oh,
did you want to say something? Or John Wagner, Jamie Gross, and Diane Riggs. Jamie, John, and Diane. Okay. Anything? Any other question concerning this? If you have a confession of faith, and I think I put one in each household that I could. If you don't, you can have this one. And we have some more in the office. You can read on page 31, 30 and 31, why a congregation meets in a Cumberland Presbyterian church. If you're from a Baptist background or another congregational type church, government, a church with congregational type government, you may wonder why we do it this way. That's the way it's outlined in our government, has been since 1810 and way back to Calvin, part of it, maybe 1600s. So we'll proceed. We must close every business meeting with a prayer. Steve, would you just dismiss us from this business meeting?
Glory to God.
I'm giving you a smile this morning, and it's a smile from God Almighty. And I expect you to give me one back. Please. Thank you. Our call to worship is found in your bulletin. It is responsive, and is as follows. Let me hear what God will speak, for God will speak peace to God's people.
Surely God's salvation is at hand for those who fear God. Let the Lord return well on our land.
Yea, God will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. In God's righteousness, let us worship, that we may walk in God's way.
Let's all stand now. Turn in our hymnals to hymn 125, Joy to the World. Let's sing 1 and 4, 1 and 4.
Joy to the world.
Bow with me for prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this season of the year when we can remember His coming as a baby. And Lord, we thank you for the hope of His coming again. And Lord, we pray that you will truly make us ready. Help us to be ready for that great day, that it would be a great and glorious day, not a great dreadful day. Father, we thank you that we can come together to worship you in truth and in spirit. And now we offer ourselves to you as we travel that road to the manger in the name of Christ, this Savior, this Messiah, we pray. Praying as He taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Now, if you will turn in your hymnal to page 716, or you can follow along on the wall up here as we recite our affirmation of faith and what we believe as Christians. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to God.
to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end.
Change of plans. This morning, I sang in the early service, and I'm not sure why the choir is not singing, but...
We're not prepared.
Not prepared. Okay. I wasn't either. But I did go over this song on the way here this morning, and I sounded pretty good in the cab of the truck. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. On your knees, for hear the angel voice and the light divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Divine, oh night, oh holy night. Oh holy night, when Christ was born. Oh night, oh holy night, when Christ was born. Fall on your knees, for hear the angel voice. When Christ was born, for I divine, oh night, when Christ was born, oh holy night,
when Christ was born. Oh, holy night. Oh, holy night. Oh, holy night. When Christ was born.
Well, whether it be the cab of a truck or in the shower, they're both good places to practice. Sam, thank you. And you must know that's one of my all-time favorite hymns, as well as gospel Christmas hymns. I love it. The one you were going to sing is one of my favorites, too. It's not always easy confessing our sins, whether we be in private or whether we be in public. But God calls us to confess our sins, and He listens, and He hears, and He answers. But He expects us to put feet on our confessing and to do something with ourselves. And right now is our time to confess. I will read, and then you will read with me. From Psalms 25, verse 11. The New International Version of God's Word. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Father, in Jesus Christ, you called us to be a servant people, but we do not do what you command. We are often silent when we should speak, and useless when we could be useful. We confess that we are lazy servants, timid, and often act in a heartless manner. Have mercy on us, O God, and though we do not deserve your care, forgive us and free us from sin. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the assurance of forgiveness from Luke chapter 5, verse 20, also from the New International Version. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, Friend, your sins are forgiven.
Turn in your hymnals again, if you will, please, to hymn 120, The Advent of Our God.
I hope that you say a little silent prayer when Andrea comes up and teaches the children on Sunday, or whomever it might be, but particularly Andrea. I do enjoy all her animal stories. And there again, it's such a special time of the year, and we're talking about Jesus Christ's birth, a baby who became a young child, then a young 12-year-old in the synagogue, and eventually grew into the man, very short-lived life, who would be our Savior. Children are so special, every one of them. I woke up with children on my mind this morning, and I look forward to the children's message this morning, as well as the lighting of the Advent candle around the inside the wreath there. So Children, come on down. And Miss Andrea is going to talk to you and teach you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Guess what, y'all? I got 9 more days before I find out what that grandbaby's going to do. 9 more days. So I'm pretty excited about that. Doesn't matter. We don't care. We don't care, boy, girl. We don't care. We're just excited. Last week we talked about the faith that Mary had and the fact that she had the faith to listen, to hear what God was telling her. This week I want to talk to you about hope. You know what? As long as we have hope, we're okay. If you ever lose hope, you're in deep trouble. I read a story this week, and this is just a story, but it makes a good example of what I'm talking about today. It's called The Story of the Touchstone. And I brought a stone with me this morning just to illustrate. But there was a man that was told that there was a certain stone laying along the beach next to the ocean, and if he found this stone, he would know it was the touchstone because it was warm to the touch. And so he made it his life's mission to find this stone, because if he found this stone, supposedly everything he wished for, he would get, it would turn to gold. So he walked every day down the beach, picking up stones. All of them were cold, picking up stones. And he was like, oh, man, this is just, you know, I can't believe it. I know it's out here. How am I ever going to find it? So he decided he would pick them up, and then if it was cold, he would toss it in the ocean. And that way he wouldn't pick up the same one over and over and over again, you know? So he started doing that. Couple of weeks went by, he'd pick it up, cold, toss it in the ocean, cold, toss it in the ocean, cold, toss it in the ocean. Well, guess what? One day he picked it up and it was warm, and he was just so lackadaisical about the whole experience, before he could think about it, he threw it in the ocean. You know what? That made me think about Christmas. And you all are too young to be this way yet. I hope, anyway. But we get sort of lackadaisical about Christmas coming, don't we? And we forget about the hope that we have in our hearts because we are a child of God. And we forget about the hope that we should have in our hearts, the fact that we are His children and He sent His only Son for us, for you, for me. How in the world can we lose hope and not be excited about this time of year, and for that matter, every day? Now, I told you that I have 9 more days before I find out what my grandbaby is going to be. And I thought, Tally said, here she goes, she's going to cry again. But you know what? My mother-in-law is so excited. My mother-in-law is very sick. And if she makes it till May 1st is when Lori's baby's due. If she makes it, she's been with us 3 years. That's 2.5 years longer than the doctors told us that she was going to be with us. But she has such hope in her heart now that she's going to make it. She wants to see that little baby. You know what? That Christ child has already come for us. And that Christ child grew up. And he died on the cross for us. And you know what? We have that hope. As long as we accept him and take him into our hearts, we have nothing to fear and everything to look forward to. And what more can we ask for than that? So let's remember that, and let's don't get cold and lackadaisical and throw away our touchstone, because our touchstone is who? That's right. I'm so not technical. Here's what we're going to do. This is much easier. For me, anyway. Maybe not.
I knew today was going to be a special day, not because of my being up here doing what I'm doing, but I just knew it was going to be a special day. I woke up with that in mind and maybe went to bed with it on my mind. Andrea, thank you so much for that message. And it is true. The message of hope is one of the greatest things that we have. And for some people, it's all that they have. And it surely is the most important thing they have. I would ask now that the ushers ready yourselves to come to the altar, please. And while they're getting ready, Exodus 25:2 from the New International Version. Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. Will you come forward, please? Thank you.
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 133. Again, let's sing first and last. 1 and 3.
If you have a pew Bible and you don't have one of your own, please pick it up, open it and read it, or read along with me. Or you can read in your bulletin there. Will you listen as we hear God's words? Scripture lesson for today is from Mark 1, 1 through 8 in the New International Version. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." And so, John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Sam, and the choir. For the ushers, the elders that I'm going to invite, thank all the active elders, Teresa, Jamie, Pete, Diane, John, Paul, and Charles. And then I'll ask Julie Bomar if she will assist with us also. Let's think about going to the altar. Going to the manger. It might fit that we go to the altar. Maybe that wasn't such a bad slip after all. Going to the manger. As a church, we're on our way to the manger. Or I hope we are. Last week we started the season of Advent, the first Sunday in Advent. The Sunday is near, November the 30th, I believe it is. And that was last Sunday, except It's right in the middle of the week that November the 30th came. But it's 2 days after last Sunday and 3 days before this Sunday, so it will always fall at the right time. As we're on the way to the manger, what's going to happen to us? I'd like for us also to think, on the way to the second time that Jesus comes, on the way to that meeting with Jesus when He comes on the cloud in glory that we talked about some last week. But we're going right now, our thoughts as a church, our youth, our middle school, our senior highs, we're thinking about going to visit the baby Jesus. And the commercial world has, in a sense, promoted that just a little bit. But throughout the church, we have depictions of the baby Jesus here and there. There will be nativity scenes. There will be pageants that depict Jesus born in Bethlehem and placed in a manger. On the way, I want us to touch base with, and you can find this in Matthew 1 and 2, and Luke 1 and 2. On the way, we find some characters, Mary and Joseph. We could not have the Christmas story without them, could we? We also find Simeon. Now, sometimes we leave him out, but he was an elderly man in the that lived near the temple and was there all the time. And when Jesus was born, he blessed him. And then that's the last we hear of Simeon. We also find an elderly lady that was at the temple a lot. Her name was Anna. So we find Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna. Going to the manger, we would also meet shepherds. We could not forget the shepherds. And probably half of you have been a shepherd sometime or another in a Christmas pageant. Also the wise men. We may have got to play the part of the wise men. That had nothing to do with how wise we became, but it might have influenced us somewhere along the way to study a little harder to be like the wise men of old. Okay? As we move on, we find Elizabeth. We find Zechariah. We find John. John that we call the baptizer or John the Baptist, as he is most often referred to as. And we must not forget Herod, the mean old king. The mean old king that had all the infants under 2 years old killed in the area, in the country, in the Judea. And then there were angels. How many of you, as always, girls with an angel, right? Have you ever seen a boy angel in the Christmas pageant, though? But the angel, I see some nods, yes. In the Christmas story, it was a male name, at least. Or does it matter? I don't think it does. Okay. We have the angels and then the innkeeper. I'm convinced that the innkeeper has gotten a dirty rap in most Christmas pageants. He wasn't that bad. He was a pretty nice guy. The place was full. It was full. And so he did provide a place for Jesus to be born and Mary and Joseph to stay. Who did I forget? Did I forget anyone? If I did, they're all mentioned in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. You've been there before, but isn't it good to go again? To go and visit again. That's what the Advent season is about. A season of going back and remembering Christ's birth again. We know that Christ, more than likely, we think that Christ wasn't born on December the 25th. But the church years ago selected a date, and the church has followed this, in a sense, ever since. Like, since the 3rd century, I believe it was. 3rd or 4th century, they selected a date. And if this wasn't the date, it's one day that we set aside we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. Whenever it happened, we have a time that Christianity around the world goes together. Except in some circles, I think they celebrate January the 6th. But it really doesn't matter what day. We're December the 25th people in that we celebrate on December the 25th. The coming of Jesus into the world, or is Joyce put on the sign out front, the Word made flesh. God's Word made flesh. God spoke. Said last week, This is a time to prepare or to renew our preparing for Jesus' second coming, when He will come to call His faithful to that heavenly place that He has prepared for us. I printed a statement in your handout, in your sermon notes, from Fred Craddock. Fred Craddock is a renowned preacher of our day. He was over at Kettler School of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta. And he says this, "Advent pilgrims on the way to the manger must pass through the desert where John is preaching." Advent pilgrims on the way to the manger must pass through the desert where John is preaching. So therefore we come upon John. We know him as John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. Mark identifies John by what he did rather than by a title as Matthew did. Matthew calls him the Baptizer or the Baptist. Mark just tells what he did, that he came baptizing. Mark 1:4. He, John, came baptizing and preaching. So he was a baptizer and he was a preacher. He came baptizing and preaching. Mark also describes something about his person. And John was kind of a strange character. I guess if we saw him today, we'd say, "Who is that strange guy?" He wore clothing made of camel's hair, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Well, we'd look today and think, what a strange fellow. We'd even think he might not only eat wild honey, but it might have made him a little wild himself. Mark saw John as the prophet mentioned in Malachi 3:1. Mark quotes these verses in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Mark saw John as the messenger mentioned in Malachi and as a voice mentioned in Isaiah, some 400 years prior to this. Craddock, Fred Craddock, says of John that he was a prophet of anticipation and a prophet of preparation. Anticipation is kind of like hope. And we talked about hope at the Advent wreath this morning. Anticipating. We're hoping for. And then he was a prophet that told the people to get ready. Jesus is coming. And we dwelt with that some concerning the second coming last week. He was the messenger preparing the road for the promised Messiah, the Savior that the prophets had promised to Israel generation ago. He was the one preparing the way for Jesus, or Emmanuel, God with us. And he was getting the people ready, getting them ready to receive Jesus. He was calling the people to repentance, because holy God needs a repentant people to come to Him. He was calling the people to righteous living. And it had been 400 years since we have record of the prophets speaking. 400 years, a spiritual drought, so to speak. You wonder about a spiritual drought in your life? 400 years of spiritual drought. The prophets, you find them in the Old Testament, then it stops. You don't find any prophets, then you get to John the Baptist. 400 years. If they were there, there was no record made. There was no record of their work or what they said. The people were hungry for a prophet, a word from God. What was John's work? He has been described as it's John who burst upon the scene, creating new excitement, stirring hearts, and gathering all of Judea and Jerusalem to the Jordan River to hear his message, the message of repentance, the call to confess their sins, to receive baptism and experience the forgiveness of sin. The curious came because he was an unusual man. And they heard about this strangely dressed, strange diet man named John out in the wilderness near the Jordan River, baptizing people, and they went out to see him. But also the nostalgic was there. The prophets had promised Elijah again. Elijah had left the earth without dying, left on a flaming chariot, and with the promise to return. And so the people that knew that story went out to see if this was really Elijah come back. And then they were looking maybe for the good old days that their parents and grandparents or great-grandparents had told them about. But then the power of his message was that the Messiah is at the door. Repentance is essential to preparation to receive him. The people listened. They listened because he was giving them something to hope in. And he was telling them how to enter into that hope. Think of it a moment, that message of repentance. He called these people of God to repent of that arrogant assumption that they alone were favored. And in Jesus' day, and right before Jesus was born, in the first, the last century of B.C. and the first century of A.D., the Jewish people, they thought they were special. And they thought that no one else had found favor in God's sight. They had forgotten that they were called to be blessed in order that they might be a blessing. So they took the blessing of God and kept it to themselves and wouldn't have anything to do with anybody else that wasn't of their pure line. They separated themselves and said, "We are the favored ones." And John called them to get away, to repent of this arrogance that they alone were favored by God. He called them to repent of the assumption that they were exempt of the moral demands. And when you begin to read the teachings of Jesus, you find that the leaders of the church of that day made such demands on the people, but thought that they didn't have to keep these stringent rules as they were teaching the other people, the rest of the people, to abide by. So they asked them to repent of this assumption that they were exempt. Repent of the thinking that being better than one's worst neighbor was their salvation, as though God graded on a curve. John was calling them to repent, to be honest, to come clear, to unload their fruitless patterns of behavior. What a message. Maybe disturbing to some, maybe angering to some. It might have made some mad. But still, he kept calling. Later, he got his head chopped off for preaching the same message to a king who had the power to do it. He called them to confess and enter into a rite of cleansing. He called them to come in seeking forgiveness. I wonder this morning, does this speak to us? Do we need the same message as we approach the manger that John preached concerning Jesus? His message, the most important part of it was that Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the Savior. John preached Christ and directed those who heard him to expect him to come quickly. John taught them to expect great things from Christ when he came. John preached the preeminence of Christ. How Christ was so high that John himself was not worthy to kneel down before Christ and untie the latches on his sandals. The lowest job in the community. And John said, "I'm not worthy to untie his shoes, so to speak." He saw himself as the servant. He also preached the great power of Christ. How great it was. He said that, "I can only baptize you with water, But when Jesus gets here, he'll be able to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So we see, as we get to the manger, God in the flesh, the Word made flesh. Yes, we're on our way to celebrate the birth of Christ. Christ means Savior. Christ means Messiah. The big question, are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we anticipating and hoping for, or are we dreading as we think of the second coming of Christ? Maybe we need to make some adjustments in our lives. I suggest that we may need to make the adjustment of becoming a disciple of Jesus, trusting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We do it by just believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word says, and we shall be saved. It may be that we who are disciples need to come in rededication, looking around ourselves or looking at ourselves and sharing ourselves with or comparing ourselves with Jesus and what He has taught, that we are far from what we ought to be and what we could be. It might be that we even need to make that adjustment of just trusting Jesus to forgive us for not being the disciples that we committed some time ago to be. We call it rededication in some circles. It's a repentance. That's what John was preaching. And as disciples of Jesus, we are invited to remember His sacrifice for us. What He went through to bring about our salvation. The Christmas story is not only about His birth. The birth means so little unless we connect it with His death. And that's what the elements on the table before you this morning represent. Christ, who was born and lived, but died for us, for our salvation. And we who are His disciples, we are invited to come and to eat and to drink from His table, remembering what He went through that we might know forgiveness and eternal life. Here are Matthew's words. Jesus was with the disciples celebrating the Passover. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." A broken body to pay for our sin. Shed blood to wash away our sins. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Elders will come forward. The bread represents Christ's body. We break it to symbolize His body being broken for us. Lord God, You gave of Yourself. You suffered for us. The skin was torn. The side was speared. Lord, the back was beaten. Broken for us. Pay for what we have done wrong. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Remember His body broken for you. The cup is the fruit of the vine. It represents His shed blood. Shed for us.
poured out for us, shed for the remission of sin. Lord God, we thank you that you are willing to let your dear Son die, shed his blood for us, give his life. Jesus, we thank you that you are willing to do. Thank you for instituting this supper for us, this meal, in Christ's name. The blood of Christ shed for you for the remission of sin. Your sin, my sin, the sin of the world. People will be served. Please eat and drink, remembering God's sacrifice, His Son's sacrifice for you and for me. Thank you.
I'm
miss it.
Thank you.